It read, all nightly rentals shall obtain a special use permit in the title, and that was changed to nightly rentals to obtain a special use permit. The all and shall was removed. And the addition to the nightly rental of all residential structures, this part was added, not approved for nightly rental with a Division 3 major development permit. And this part was already in there, shall require the issuance of a special use permit.
So I just cleaned up a Division 3?
Well, as it read, if you had a major Division 3 development permit, like we have numerous ones in the county, they're approved with a Division 3 that carries on the property. They still were going to have to come back and get reapproved for each structure. Not just get your permit, but get reapproved. Right. Which it had already been approved. All the individual ones out there.
Branson Canyon.
Branson Canyon is a perfect example. They had the Division 3 major.
That's what it was set up as. Everybody knows that's why it was developed.
Yeah.
So it just cleaned up that.
Correct. It exempted them from the special use part because they had a major development. The 4.719 was changed to 15. And then the 4.720 was changed to 16. And that's all the changes that were made.
Mike, what do you want to do on the 120-90? Again, I don't, other than any input from the board, I don't, did they talk about the 90?
No, I mean, they just felt like the 120 days because of the 90-day look back for appeal. In the 30 days, change.
How many of the board members said it?
I had 5 at the work session, and then Dave Stewart had a little issue, and he arrived late. So we had 6.
If I remember right, I don't think we even had a timeline in there. Part of that was because some of this would go on. We actually got a timeline where they have to.
Yeah, we basically had no time.
That.
Yeah.
There should be a...
And that's what prompted it in the first place. There really was not a deadline. I mean, I guess it would just be to the staff discretion of when would we pull the trigger to say, hey, you have to stop renting. This actually gave them a timeline. That's what we have, that's what the Planning Commission's been using for since probably March or April. That's the verbiage that they've been using.
The 120?
Yes.
Without having to bring the board back and having them discuss it. I mean,
yeah, we'd kick it back to the board.
Then we'd be turning around kicking it back to them over something that's probably not as crucial as some of the other.
If we change it to 90 days, it has to go back to the planning board to have to vote on.
Yep. Vote on your changes.
Yeah, that's why another 30 days isn't.
And, I mean, in the future, if it looks like the appeal needs to be changed to the 60 and this needs to be bumped back for whatever reason, we can relook at that in the future.
To change it to the, if we approve it as is, and then it goes to them, and then if it's for some reason felt it needed to be changed to 90, they have to vote on it, then it has to come back to us, and we have to vote on it and go to them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or the other thought is if we get on with traditional zoning,
right,
and if we get back and do our job, the commission on that, and give that to planning, and then got to get the maps and stuff,
right,
probably a year down the road.
Yep. And then this pretty much would read in the new traditional zoning like this, because it does now. And if you feel like you want to change the timeline in that traditional, you'd have the ability to do that. So this is our Band-Aid for this one while it's our code now. And then we can revisit it when we look at it. This section, the conditional use permit's what it's called in the new traditional zoning. It's not a special use, it's a conditional use permit. We can look at the timeline real hard there.
The ones you're working with now that have been out of compliance, that haven't, that do not have a CFC, but that are now, that you've notified them and they're working now, are they working, in your opinion, on getting it done quickly, or are they lagging?
No, there's not much lagging. The only lag has been the ones that have had to put in fire suppression, getting it scheduled, and working through the bid process. But the other requirements, they've been pretty fast on getting it to us.
So they do have some that they're required to put in the fire? I hadn't heard of any.
Well, I mean, we're talking the whole county, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The new.
Yeah, not just specific area, but yeah, they're sure.
That's quite expensive, isn't it, to put in the fire?
It's
sprinkler systems, or
I mean, I don't want to kick out a dollar amount that I've been hearing, but yeah, I mean, it's not dollar expense I'd want to take on right now. So
they're not requiring that in like the lofts and your condos or whatever. They're not requiring them to put in the. Am I wrong on that? I didn't think that. I thought he said if that was doing the Western Fire, that they were not requiring them to put in the sprinkler system.
Like that sprinkler system all ties back to the date. If they
and those were built before they had.
Well, no, if they were nightly rented before that date.
Right, had to do the time they were built.
But then they'd have to have each room sprinkled in there, I'd assume. We've got pictures of the sprinklers in each room.
If they were renting before that date, or if it was built?
Nope. If they can prove they were renting before that date,
then they don't have to do that.
He has a different code that he goes by. But I kind of agree with you on your statement that if we can get with this and get moving on with our current applications, then we can start working on the traditional zoning.
That's a challenge to us. Sorry. If we can get moving on to traditional.
Well, if we can get through this, these code amendments, and get moving forward, because we've got 7 nightly rental applications that's on hold. They've been on hold 45 days already. This would probably bump them out another 45 days by the time we bump back to the planning. But
are they renting now?
These mostly are new concepts that are coming through.
Okay, so then they'll be under, then they will not be able to rent until they get their CFC.
No. Oh, these mainly are all new rentals. Couple of them actually are notice of violation letters, but they haven't been written very long. So, but there's two options. Either if you change the verbiage in there, we'd kick it back to the Planning Commission. You just send back your recommendations, or you make a motion and approval of how it's written, and we move forward with this as our new special use nightly rental section of our code book.
I think there are a few people that wanted to talk. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
she might. Yep.
Come up. If you want to. Anyone want to come up and speak on our codes?
You want to put your mic at this podium.
You can sit down or whatever you'd like to do.
You can come over on this side.
I say we typically don't have, I think the gentleman this morning wanted to stand. It's wherever you feel comfortable.
Oh, it's not working?
Yeah, these mics, they record us more than anything. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not very loud.
Can you speak up?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Gordon Glass. I'm a resident in Branson Creek. And Section 4.7 of the Nightly Rentals states that the nightly rentals in a residential area have the potential to be incompatible with the surrounding residential uses. Therefore, special regulation nightly rentals is necessary to ensure their use is compatible with the surrounding residential uses and not materially alter the neighborhood's name. And in the last 2 years, a number of the units in Branson Creek have become nightly rentals. Now it's up to about 20% of all the living units are nightly rentals. Outside of that, there's only two residents in there that have more than one or two occupants. I think one has three and one has four. With the nightly rentals, we get five, six, sometimes seven families that are coming into a unit per night as opposed to one or two, which materially affects the noise level, the access of the amenities. They overtake the swimming pool that we have there, so the permanent residents cannot have it. Different ones have come and appealed those before planning and zoning, basically because we felt applications were not complete. Requirements, particularly one for the buffers, has not been met for any of that's approved. If you read that section in common language, it says that there has to be either a natural tree or vegetation, a buffer, or a wall or a fence, something that will protect the commercial use from the residential. None of the units in Branson Creek have, in my understanding of that common language, has ever had a buffer in place to protect that from the residential units. So what we're getting is more and more people are moving out, selling their places in Branson Creek, leaving the area because of this disruption that's being caused by these. And couple of the areas, and specifically I think with this change here, is this one that removes the requirement that all the vehicles and the names and address be required. If we have a crime that's committed in the neighborhood, it seems like that would be useful information for the police department to go to whoever is managing that unit and say, you know, who was in that unit on such and such a date, and be able to start to investigate. Without that now, there could be one person that's rented it, but you have four or five other families besides that one family that's occupying that. So I think that would be good. And then on the buffers, changing the wording from shall, which means it will be done, even though we feel that planning and zoning has not enforced that, and they've approved these even without meeting that request. The word may is, to me, is a very watered down version that says it's probably not going to happen. There's nothing really that says that there will be any kind of a buffer put in place. If you say you may do something, well, you may or you may not, but there's no consequences to that. And so I guess, you know, I'm certainly concerned about the fact of watering this down, making it, you know, it's just going to become even more of a snowball effect until all of Branson Creek has become nightly rentals. There's other places in the county that have been set aside for nightly rentals. I think Point Royale, up at Ledgestones, some of those areas have those units. Branson Creek was never designed to have a section that would be nightly rentals. I mean, it's spattered throughout. I have one, you know, across the street from where I live. And, you know, on any given weekend, there's 4 to 6 vehicles, you know, parked there. And sometimes they'll have their boats parked out in the street, and we had one incident where they probably had a 20-foot boat parked there and blocking, you know, the roadway. So it is very much an inconvenience. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
On a situation like that, like a boat in the, is that when does the sheriff then go and give a ticket for the boat being parked in or not? How does that work? What kind of consequences are there for not? Because I'm assuming they. We've got the permit posted. Do they know how many parking spots?
Right.
How does that work?
Well, and we'd be called, I guess, and go out and look, and then we'd have to issue, which I have not gone out and caught any